In Ann Makepeace's new documentary, two Native American judges reach back to traditional concepts of justice in order to reduce incarceration rates, foster greater safety for their communities, and create a more positive future for their youth. By addressing the root causes of crime, they are providing models of restorative justice that are working. Main Street courts across the country are taking notice. The new film is Tribal Justice. It will be shown at the Movie House in Millerton on the 26th of March. Ann Makepeace has been a writer, producer, and director of award-winning independent films for more than three decades, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be on the program.
At what point did you decide that this was a film that you wanted to direct and take on this subject?
Well, I had just finished my last film, which was called We Still Live Here. And We Still Live Here is also about a Native American subject. It's about the kind of miraculous return of a long-dead Native American language, the language of the Wampanoags who live on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard and who welcomed the pilgrims and then lived to regret it. So that was my last film. That was on PBS in 2012. So actually, it was somebody who found me with this idea because of my last film and asked if I would be interested in making a film about tribal courts in California, where there's a lot of innovative work going on, exactly as you described so perfectly, with particularly these two tribal judges bringing back traditional ways to create a more culturally appropriate and more effective form of justice in their communities. Well, my first reaction to this question was, you know, I don't really make films about ideas. I make films about people, you know, people who are struggling and working often against all odds to make the world a better place. So my reaction to the person who came to me, whose name is Ruth Cowan, executive producer of the film, was, well, I don't know. I don't know anything about tribal courts, for one thing. We're on the other coast from California, and, you know, it all depends on my response to these two judges who had been identified. You know, are they going to be compelling characters? Do they have stories we can follow? Can we get access to their courts and follow stories in their courts? So at that point, and this was in 2013, this is a four-year labor of love is what it became, I said, I'll go with you to California. You pay for the trip. I'll go with you. I'll meet these judges, and then I'll have to figure out, you know, is there a story here that people will want to watch? Because, you know, as I say, my films are not so much informational. I hope that they spur people on to find out more information after they follow these very human stories of people working in that particular field. So at any rate, so I went out to California in February of 2013 with Ruth Cowan, and we attended a meeting of something called the Tribal Court State Court Forum, in which tribal judges work with state court judges to try to maximize the good for those who come before them, particularly families. And, you know, I have to fall in love. That's the thing. I have to fall in love to take on a project because they do take 3 or 4 years. They take, you know, they bleed you dry. So, you know, financially, creatively, sure. Relationship-wise, you know. So, but here's the thing. I met the two judges, and I fell in love with them. I mean, I'm not talking about romantic love. You know, I'm talking
right.
about...
As subjects.
They were awesome and are awesome.
So as I mentioned in the introduction, there are two judges who are focused on in the film. Tell us about those two judges.
So Abby Abenanti, who is the chief judge of the largest tribe in California, which is the Yurok tribe up on the northwest coast near the Oregon border, she is she's an elder. She's in her 70s. She's beautiful. She has long white hair, and she's just she has a presence that you wouldn't believe. She, in the 70s, became the first Native American woman to pass the California bar exam and become a lawyer. And not only did she become a lawyer, she was a state court superior judge in San Francisco for many years. So she had worked in the state system. She is from the Yurok Reservation. And in 2007, she was asked to come back and take over their, what was actually a very new court. So she's served there on the Yurok Tribal Court as chief judge since then. So the minute you see her on screen, you know, you'll know what I mean. She's just fierce. She's funny. She is dedicated. She's just awesome. So, you know, meeting her, okay, there's a story, there's a character. I'm hooked.
Okay, so that is Abby. The other judge is Claudette. Tell us about Claudette and how you came to her story.
Claudette is a really nice, the other judge, the judge in Southern California, whose name is Claudette White, is very different from Abby. She's a lot younger. She's only in her 40s, which is quite young for a judge. She has a different style. Like, Abby refuses to wear a robe. She refuses to swear people in because she thinks it's offensive and assumes that they're going to lie. Claudette's court looks much more traditional in the sense she does wear a robe. She does swear people in. But in both cases, their whole goal is so much more humane than what we see in state court. It's to figure out, you know, what happened here? How can we help these people? How can we get, for instance, this 14-year-old kid who's gotten into trouble, you know, back with extended family where there's tribal support and out of juvenile hall? That's one of the cases that just comes up briefly in the mm-hmm. film. So they both have restorative justice as their goal. And for them, it's not any different from what happened traditionally in their tribes 200 years ago. You know, as Abby explains in the film, you know, back then nobody would have ever thought of going to a stranger to adjudicate a case. They would go to an elder who knew the families, who knew all the players in the, you know, in whatever had happened, whatever conflict had happened, and could make a decision that could restore the community. And, you know, maybe it was a payment that one family made to another, or she says, you know, the state court is basically justice by strangers. If a judge in state court knows the people who come before him, he has to recuse himself, right? Well, and the tribal courts have the leeway where that's not a rule they have to follow. It's not even part of their constitutions. They all know everybody in the community. They know their grandparents. They know their kids. And they have a much better sense of what support networks these people would have and how to get them on the straight and narrow path.
How aware were the two judges of each other?
They knew each other. They both are members of the Tribal Court State Court Forum, which meets, I believe, twice a year. So they knew each other from that. Claudette, the younger judge, certainly idolizes, isn't the right word, but looks up to Abby as a model of what a tribal judge can be and do. So, you know, I don't know how much time they spent together. They live 1,000 miles apart. You know, they're both in California, but Abby is up on the Northwest Coast, as I mentioned, and Claudette is as far southeast as you can get in California. So her reservation, which is in California, borders on Mexico and on Yuma, Arizona. So they're 1,000 miles apart. They don't get to hang out too much.
In our time remaining, what do you believe that mainstream courts can learn from this process, this model of restorative justice?
Well, I think that, you know, as Claudette, Judge Claudette White says, state court is really about process. Okay, they read off these rules. This is what applies to you. You go to this prison or this jail or this holding place. You know, And as you said earlier, state courts are taking notice. There's a court in Brooklyn that's invited Navajo peacemaking judges to their court to help them figure out how do we stop this crazy mass incarceration movement and try to get people help within their communities. And while you can't change the law so that the judges, you know, are familiar with everybody who comes before them, that's just not going to happen. You can create a system of justice where the goal is not to punish people, but to figure out the root problems and try to, you know, sentence them to a drug court. I mean, that's, you know, that's something that can be done, or to rehab. Or, you know, in the case of when children have been taken away from their families, you know, find extended relatives to take them. Don't just put them in a state home. You know, I think there are really a lot of ways that this film and the way that these two judges are using their own justice systems, I think they really can be used as models. And the film will be used that way. It's actually going to be shown at Harvard in about a month, mm-hmm. and it was just shown at UCLA Law School on March 4th. It's brand new, but it's starting to have impact. The Department of Justice wants to show it. So, you know, I think they want to show it because it provides this window into a world through very human stories. And that's what I do as a filmmaker.
The film is Tribal Justice. It will be shown on Sunday, March 26th at 11 a.m. And it'll be shown at the Movie House in Millerton. It is a free event, no tickets required. And you can find out more information by going to our website, where we'll have a link to finding out more. WAMC.org/roundtable. Again, the name of the film is Tribal Justice. Anne Makepeace is the director of the film. She'll also be leading a post-screening discussion. Anne, thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck, and thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us.
Joe, thank you very much. And I do hope the community comes out, because this is my community here. I live in Lakeville. And it's very special to share the film with so many friends and acquaintances from the area.
Thank you very much. We look forward to it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Again, the name of the film is Tribal Justice, to be shown at the Movie House in Millerton on the 26th of March at 11 a.m. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.